I'm delighted to be here, and I'm supposed to read the presenter disclosure statement that I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months, and I have none to disclose. It's interesting because my project that I'm going to talk about is a very political project, and I think this particular session sort of has a social activist justice part to it. We were funded by the Southern California Air Quality District in response to research they had done that found that certain areas that tended to be low-income areas had sort of the worst quality of life, worst quality of air in an area that already had tremendously bad quality of air. So in other words, if you're Latino, if you're poor, and you have not many other choices, that's where the rail yards or the industry builds, and you of course get immersed in that. So in response to this report that came out that actually showed that this particular area had the expected highest cancer rates for any other ethnic groups in the state actually, we wrote this proposal to actually look at a community-based participatory approach to look at that. And the presentation I'm giving today is actually sort of a side project that came out of, because we started looking at the data in various ways, and we found that, as you probably already know, lots of things co-occur. So that's what my talk is about childhood obesity and the risk for asthma, and the Enrich project is our project. Acknowledge my co-authors, because it was truly participatory. Everybody helped. And two of them are here. One is here, and of course, her husband, Ben, is here as well. Thank you. This is us. On a beautiful day, you would want to come and visit me, and you say you live in God's paradise. And there are days where I really feel awesome, because it's so gorgeous. We have the foothills, the mountains, you know, 3,000 meter mountains, 5,000 foot mountains right behind us, which of course lead to the fact that all of the dirt that gets produced between LA and us is blown in by the winds, and it produces this. So the inland valleys where we live of Southern California have the highest levels of particulate pollution and are among the highest levels of ozone pollution or smog. Okay, and this is on a bad day. Again, on a good day you wouldn't know it, but you all know that the stuff is there whether we see it or not. Goods movement. Why is goods movement important? Many people don't know that the area where we live has one of the biggest inland ports. And I didn't even know what an inland port was until I started this research. An inland port is that the stuff from Asia is shipped in containers and ships up to the United States. Everything coming from Asia, cheap goods, are brought into the ports, and then it doesn't stay there. It goes to what is called an inland port by ship, by truck, and then it gets distributed across the United States. And you have no idea how much stuff comes in from the Asian Pacific Rim. So a lot of the goods that we have are actually literally brought in that route, and it creates a lot of emissions from the ships, from the trucks, the locomotives, and it's a significant and growing, adding to the already bad air that we have, that is really a function of the geography. So the health impacts, there's a strong link between elevated particulate matter levels, and we do know that it causes premature death. It worsens cardiovascular problems that are already in existence. We know that it causes aggravated asthma. Number of asthma attacks is very high in our area. It causes other lower respiratory conditions. And one example of this is the MINOR study. It's an NIH study that shows clear evidence that diesel exhaust exposure, which is used with railways, may cause lung cancer in humans and represent a potential tremendous public health burden. So I mention that only because a lot of people, and I agree, feel that trucks are much worse than locomotives and we should do more green stuff. So just going from trucks to locomotive and not getting healthy or clean locomotives doesn't do the job either, because if you have lots and lots of that, the container yards where they are don't actually help either. So they actually make the air very badly for the surrounding communities. So health impacts, preventable hospitalization, San Bernardino County and the California statewide statistics are that we have high rates of hypertension, higher than in California in our area. Asthma is higher than in California, which doesn't have a good record for asthma. COPD is much higher in our area. And pediatric asthma is more than significantly higher, as you can see. And our children are very affected. So out of the growing concern of the proximity from this report that was written to the Railyard on their health, community members, actually interestingly not politicians, but community members, went to the mayors and said, this is not good, is it? And he said, no, this is not good. And they said, okay, don't just say that, do something about it. He contacted the president of our university and Dr. Soret, who is right here, and myself were kind of asked to do something about it. And this is a community that's predominantly Latino, a lot of them not legal, very hard to engage in research. So how do you begin to do something about it? So we created the ENRICH project, the Environmental Railyard Research Impacting Community Project, which uses CVPR, community-based participatory methods, where we collaborate with a community-based agency that were, most of the people there were native, they lived in the neighborhood, they were Spanish, and we trained them in rigorous research methods, week-long trainings, in not only IRB, in how to conduct research, how to conduct interviews, but also to conduct the testing that we did that I'm going to talk about in a little while. This presentation is, there's lots of data on this study, and it mainly focuses on adults. This presentation, however, is about the children sub-study we did. So why? Why do we deal with children? They're a vulnerable population. As they grow up physiologically, they're at greater risk as they're maturing. Their lungs and their body is growing, so it's taking everything in to grow. Their breathing rates are faster, plus they run a lot. The resulting dose from the same exposure for them is actually higher given their size. They spend much time near the source, and the school that we actually dealt with is literally across from that rail yard, that container inland port where a lot of the activity occurs. So they're playing, they're running outside, and they're looking at this container yard that's going 24/7. And this close proximity, we hypothesized, may result in enhanced exposure and in poorer respiratory health, and we tested this. So asthma, and all of you already know, you came to an asthma section, is one of the most prevalent chronic conditions. It affects children, is a leading cause of morbidity. Cost of untreated asthma is tremendously high, and continuing to increase every year. Poorly controlled asthma leads to attacks that can actually be fatal, and this happens in more children than in adults, with a lot of people don't know. And it's usually because it's not diagnosed or underdiagnosed or untreated. And scientific evidence has actually implicated air pollutants not only in exacerbation of the symptoms for the children with asthma, but potentially also in the promotion of the initial development of asthma. So overweight and obesity, why did we look at the two? We weren't going to look at the two. Actually, it was a fluke. We wanted to assess these physiological measures of asthma and asthma risk, but in order to calculate them, we had to know how big the kids were, because not every kid is the same. Latino kids have a different body composition than white kids have black kids. So we actually had to do BMI in these kids in order to determine what their actual risk rate was for the test, asthma tests we did. But we do know that 18% or 12.5 million children and adolescents in the nation are considered overweight and obese. It's gotten to about a third. It's increasing every year, hasn't slowed down yet, sadly. And the percent of children in the U.S. who are obese range from 17 in general to 25% in the inner city. So, again, poorer kids are at higher risk, and there are many reasons for that that I don't have time to go into. In California, 16% of children between the ages 2 and 5 were overweight and 17.2% were obese, which is quite troubling. These are really, really, really young children. Percent of hospital discharges among these children due to obesity increases every year. These little kids already get diabetes, get gallbladder, sleep apnea, and many other diseases. And again, the financial burden is immense, but we're not even talking about the personal burden for these kids. So now bringing the two together, asthma and obesity, how are they related? A meta-analysis of longitudinal study demonstrates that there is a significant association between higher birth weight and or body mass index and childhood risk for developing asthma. Obese children with asthma have increased hospitalization rates. We know this. The emergency departments are full of them, and higher medication use is often needed because of poor asthma control. And those medications have significant impact to their development and their growth. While other studies found that overweight and obesity precedes asthma, some other ones found the opposite. And the causal evidence is not yet in. It's really difficult to make controlled, highly controlled studies, so we really don't know. And actually, a few of those studies actually were conducted specifically with low-income, high-minority populations. So regardless of causality, the two clearly do co-occur, and early detection of asthma risk we know is critical, especially we feel among obese children, and it's critical in mitigating the potential comorbidities that both of them entail. So the purpose of our study is to explore whether being overweight or obese is associated with being diagnosed in this asthma or being at risk for asthma in these children that lived next to the rail yard in this high-risk community, poor community. So we actually conducted with the Arrowhead Regional Medical Center, which is a public service provider, a respiratory health specialty mobile. We conducted asthma screening to all children with parental consent. And the two types of tests we did that were physiologically, we measured exhaled fractional nitrous oxide, FNO, with a NIOSH device to actually get at lung inflammation, which is an early marker for beginning asthma. And we also looked at lung function via the peak expiratory flow, the PEF measure, looking at lung volume. If you think this is difficult to do with an adult having these little clouds carried so that we can actually measure, imagine doing it with kindergartners. We did nearly 1,100 kids like that. High-risk children then were referred from the Breathmobile Clinic and offered follow-up care if we needed it. One of our biggest things is when you go to this very poor, disenfranchised community, people don't necessarily attend. They don't participate. So one of our members, one of our collaborators, who's just awesome, has kids the same age, she said, we have to do something fun. So she wrote and directed and implemented, this is all of us, all of the scientific investigators on here, we actually performed a play about the dangerous thing of asthma on different kinds of days where you need to watch out. We used this play to recruit the kids to get their parents to sign the consent. As a result, in this very low-income school, we had 75% participation rates. And we would have had higher, but some of the kids were sick, which we assume, at least in part, were kids that had asthma. So this is us setting up at the schools and doing the testing. We did a parental survey because you can't really interview the kids. They're too young. And we got data on self-reported clinical symptoms, adverse health outcomes via parental questionnaires, and we got demographic, residential history, parental smoking, household characteristics, including indoor pollution. People often don't have central air and central heat. They still use coal burning in these areas. Physician diagnosed histories, information of respiratory health symptoms, and utilization of medication and healthcare services. Our endpoints, I already told you, where either doctor diagnosed asthma or if they measured high on the NIOSH device or the PEF device. We also collected height and weight, so we had BMI, which led to this paper. An additional analysis looked at self-reported other diseases such as emergency room utilization and what the parents observed the kids had, did they have cough, did they have sputum, et cetera, et cetera. In our analysis, this is an epi session. We used logistic regression modeling, and our final model adjusted for race, gender, age, environmental tobacco smoke by the parents or anybody living in the household, the time they spent outdoors, and medium household income. Other confounders such as pet, household heating, and many others were actually assessed for inclusion in the final model, but they didn't make it to the magical 10% cutoff, so we actually didn't include them because they didn't contribute enough to the variance. All statistical analysis were done with SAS. This is just a quick description, and what you see here is everybody on the left side, and then by respiratory screening results. So the middle column are the kids that either had asthma diagnosis by the parents or had high PEF or high NIOSH. And the right side had neither of them. And as you can see, comparably wise, there was no difference in age. Actually, the non-Hispanic, white, and African-American kids had the highest rates within group of caseness, and there was no gender differences, which is different from the literature as well. And for our group, the obese kids were the ones that were highest. And this is just to show you how many of the kids actually scored very high. 21.1% scored less than the predicted or necessary volume for PEF, and 16.3% were identified as NIOSH sensitive, which meant that they actually were at high risk for developing asthma, as indicated by infectious material that was expelled. Our results overall, 12.5% of the children had diagnosed asthma, 42 were identified as being at high risk, 16 displayed airway inflammation, and 21 lung function. And as you can also see, 16.3 were overweight, 24.3 obese, which is higher than the already high rates for California, and California is at the leading edge of overweight and obesity. So is it associated with asthma diagnosis? As you can see, if you do it straight away, you can clearly see it is. As you get heavier, you have more asthma. But does it hold when we actually do the regression? And yes, it does. If you're overweight and obese compared with normal weight, in this high-risk population, your odds of having asthma increase is an odds ratio of 1.45. If you do it by themselves, the trend is very clear. It's clearly elevated risk, and I think we ran into power issues. It wasn't significant, but both of them are indeed associated, but not significantly. Then we looked at the obesity and the odds of asthma for risk of an adverse respiratory health. And if you were overweight or obese, and you had the tests, the risk test, the NIOSH or the PEF, there was definitely an increased risk for asthma and obesity over and above just asthma alone, and it held mostly for the asthma diagnosis. And is asthma and obesity independently associated with adverse respiratory health, for instance, in poor PEF? And you can see asthma diagnosis and NIOSH is associated. However, PEF is not associated, NIOSH is associated, and the self-reports were associated as well. When we looked at obesity, the only thing that was significant was obesity in parent-reported chronic cough, whistling and whistling-sounding breathing. Now, I threw a lot of models at you, and it's always hard to talk through models in a short talk, so I did a little diagram. As you can see here, asthma and obesity are clearly associated. Asthma is actually associated with significantly with doctor visits, emergency room visits for asthma, and increased NIOSH, as well as chronic cough and whistling. It is not associated with PEF, and obesity is only directly associated with chronic cough, whistling, and asthma. So what does all of that mean as far as these children are concerned? Can we use this NIOSH or this PEF test to identify kids that are not only that are not currently showing symptoms, but we know they're obese? I mean, that's really why we looked at the data from this perspective. And I think we can. I think it is an early indicator of a comorbidity, and we suggest that it is an early indicator of comorbidity, but we cannot obviously establish causality. But as a summary, we do feel that many of the children living in these low-income, poor air quality communities are going undiagnosed, which, if you think about, 13% was diagnosed asthma, and the rest, up to 47%, actually showed up with significant symptoms such as that referral was warranted. They go untreated, and we do know that for asthma, early detection is very critical. While this is a cross-section study, and again, we can't determine causality, we feel that you see obesity, you often don't see asthma. So we do know that the two are highly correlated. And future studies that don't have the money to do this very expensive testing, and the parents don't have the money to send their children to get tested for asthma with NIOSH device or PEF device, we do know that obese children and overweight children are at increased risk. So that is a marker. And if we could actually share that with physicians, that it's a marker for risk for asthma, we are actually hoping that without having to do the testing, that bring that to the attention of physicians would actually lead them to actually explore respiratory risks further. Because if they only ask, the parents would say, yeah, my kid has a cough. Yeah, they sometimes sound breathing whistly. But since they don't have access to insurance and to regular medicine at this point in time, that often doesn't come up. but it is getting more and more expensive if you don't actually treat these children. I know I'm running out of time. What can we do now? Given the core currents of poor respiratory health and obesity and the high rates of kids that were actually missed by the physician-told diagnosis that I showed you, routine comprehensive respiratory health and or weight screening should be offered regularly, especially to students who live in these areas that are very polluted and have very poor air quality. For young children in these low-income, poor air quality areas, we should not only engage parents around respiratory health, but also address weight as a co-occurring issue and possibly as a marker. There is a critical need to inform key elected officials and regulatory authorities about these results. Can you imagine if you live in this area and you learn that 47% of your children that play across from the rail yard are actually at high risk for a disease that can kill? Our data was not received very well by the rail yard, which is why my disclosure statement at the beginning was an important one, because people really pushed us on that, and they really did not like our results. To address immediate needs, we are currently engaging in local collaboratives, and since we did the research collaborative, that helps, in order to formulate community amelioration and response plan, including programs that address the needs of large groups of kids to have both. For instance, there was no green border between the rail yard and the school. It was just a field and a chain-linked fence. There was nothing green. So when the wind blew right, the wind just blew everything from the rail yard right into the kids where the kids were running. And they were actually protecting the kindergartners from the older kids and had them fenced in so they couldn't go outside. We measured on a regular day that their air quality was the worst on the schoolyard, because it had no ventilation. So very clearly, to sum up the paper, asthma and obesity are related. I don't know if they're causal. Our research really didn't have strong evidence either way. But I do believe that it's important because the marker of obesity is an easy one. It's a very understandable one. It's a very clear one. It's less clear than asthma because it is not as evident. So as physicians, as community people, we shouldn't just deal with issues around asthma. We should look at the co-occurrence of obesity because one actually makes the other worse. Kids who are obese actually do worse with their asthma. They have poorer asthma control. We do know that. So not only do they do poorer, but if they're then in areas that are high in both, that they get far more affected. These are my limitations. I do believe that an all-school data collection that really didn't bias by disease unless you didn't attend that day was good. We had high participation rate, and we had the fortune to have actually physiological outcomes. Had we only looked at self-reported asthma, we would not have much to talk about. We looked at PEF and at NIOX, and it really opened our eyes as to the incredible risks these kids are engaging in on an everyday basis. I want to acknowledge our funders. Really, I want to thank the parents and children and school officials for supporting this research, and I thank you for listening. Thanks.